Our reading for today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist is a herald for Jesus, whose way is prepared by repentance of the forgiveness of sins. So as we hear the careful record of human leaders, we sense the spectrum of political and religious authority that will be changed and challenged by this coming Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Itera and Trichonius, and Lysanias, a ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, and word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and then the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, today we are continuing to read the stories that the Lord is near. In this next several weeks, we'll be reading a little bit more about John the Baptist and his whole role in this coming of Jesus during this Advent season. So, with John the Baptist leading us, we read about what John really thinks we should be doing right now in order to be worthy of the repentance of the forgiveness of sins. And that is a little bit different than the message of grace and mercy through faith that we've been hearing on Sundays all of our lives. But this message of John's is a good message to hear at this time of the year as we wait for the season of Advent. John comes to prepared to tell the people of Israel how to start or where to begin and what they should be doing as they're waiting for the Lord's coming. John's baptism of repentance is not simply a call for piety or morality either. One pastor describes it this way that I remember reading about. He said that it is nothing short of the labor pains preceding the inauguration of God's reign. John is calling for the world to change spiritually, economically, politically, and socially, in anticipation for the advent of the human one. The bottom line is that John is that we've got to conform our lives to the will of God. We have learned through our readings the past few weeks that a strong spiritual heritage or upbringing, along with a righteous religious resume of good deeds, are not the means upon which we can pull and up and away of the fire of the divine judgment. It's hard to hear sometimes. But John here, he was speaking to a generation that saw themselves as privileged, as exempt, and beyond any type of repentance. And the parallels with their own times, with our own times, is a little obvious, especially in a season when the baby is scarcely visible in the manger, and Christmas is more about Santa Claus than it is anything else. When the Christ is almost invisible to the consumer, and when the season has no reason except for office parties and overspending and gift giving. What John's message today, his passage, it's a new kind of a radical approach to the world. So here we are in the second week of Advent 2024, and we just lit the second candle called peace, which we get through our faith. This is a message today of faith, when we're looking for peace. But all John's words in the ancient prophecy occurred talk about a repentance. He says, has all flesh or seen or heard the salvation of God? Are the crooked made straight today? No. And this is what are important things for us not to forget. God's redemptive work, where all will hear and live a faithful life in Christ, that all of that work is still unfinished. John serves as a role model for the Christian church and is still in the process of working through us to bring a message of hope and promise, a message of faith, of living out our faith. And this, again, is what Advent is about as we wait and meet Christ, putting our faith into action, changing our thinking from the progressive ways of thinking of self-identity and selfishness, finding a new source of power in our lives, and then turning it into a mighty wind that God has blown across the landscape of human life, sharing the hope and the promise of Jesus. And again, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit blowing through our lives, in which we don't always pay attention to. Jesus, the Messiah, baptizes us with this Spirit and invites us to come into him with a life of repentance and righteousness. So now, let's not just hear John preaching a whole lot of law and legalism and words of repentance and demands. You know, but these are words of good judgment and of good stewardship, living out our faith and working for justice. So, how can we better relate to this text during this Advent season? Well, I know that many of you have probably heard about this famous writing, a little poem called Footprints in the Sand, right? We've all heard that, where you have the two sets of footprints on the beach, and then after a while there's one set of footprints where God is carrying us. Well, that's a message from Jesus, who tells us that he will never leave us, and that he loves us even in times when we feel lost, which is true and a fact of faith. But John wasn't going to let the people off that easy. I mean, John was preparing people for the love of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to make it clear that not everything is free in this world and that we shouldn't take the event of the Messiah for granted. He was serious about this repentance thing. So I want to share with you an unofficial poem similar to the Footprints in Sand. And you may have heard it, but I think this is a new millennium poem that started a few things that I think if John had written a poem proclaiming his message, it would have gone something more like this. This is called Butt Prints in the Sand. And it goes like this. It says, "One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there were to be seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. Then some stranger prince appeared. I then asked the Lord, 'What have we here?' 'Those prints are large, round, and neat. But Lord, they are too big for feet.' 'My child,' he said in somber tones, 'I challenged you to walk in faith. For miles I carried you alone, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed and would not grow. In the walk of faith, you would not know. So I got tired and fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight, one must climb, one must rise again and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand." No, this poem is not theologically correct in so many ways. But yes, John's message is one of repentance, stewardship, and justice. Three things in which we do declare in the Christian church is our mission in life. And part of it is to pay closer attention to during the season of Advent, of the season of hope, love, joy, and peace. We do come to worship and to pray for justice and peace, nurturing ourselves with the expectation that we are encountering the living God in our lives. And we do this as we are the church, the body of Christ. And we are the living God, the light of Jesus for others. That makes it all the more important to be examples, to share God's message of mercy and grace as we too seek God's forgiveness. In the beginning of each service, each worship service, we ask God's forgiveness, and we say that we are sorry for the things that we have left undone in this world. But do we really repent? I mean, this is what John was talking about. And what is repentance? Is it just a feeling of regret or remorse? To me, constantly feeling sorry about things would eventually wear on me and cause serious depression. Martin Luther thought the same thing when he read passages like this, until he heard about and felt the unforgivable, unconditional love of Jesus Christ in his life, and saying, "Yes, you are forgiven, always." But then we have this word, repentance, and it's such a great word during Advent. We have discussed that Advent is a time where we wait and prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. Or let's put it a little bit more aggressive in John's way, Advent is a time for us to repent. A time to prepare ourselves by recognizing the divisions that we have in our lives between where the things are and where God would have them be. So it's a time to invite us to take a stand, to grow in our faith, and realizing that yes, we do screw things up every once in a while, but we can be better disciples. So my point here today is that repentance is both John the Baptist and Jesus. Repentance that is remorseful, a remorseful feeling, and a cleansing, and a new change, new life of change towards the life that God meant for us in the first place. A new life that comes to us through our baptism, and repentance that we seek comes through faith. Today, having been repenting Christians, we all receive the good news that saves, so that we might give our lives to the care and the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our errors and repentance, we grow in faith, knowing that in our baptism, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that yes, we are born again each new day with a fresh new start. The Lord is near every day. And this is why in our baptism we are given that little invisible cross. I call it the invisible tattoo on our foreheads. And it is to be remembered each new day, where we can literally retrace that invisible cross on our foreheads and remember that, yes, we are repenting, born-again people who live new lives in God's grace. So, let's go into the world anew each day, proclaiming a life giving for the Lord through our Christian faith. Let us make a constant effort to follow Christ of the church and of the scriptures, and not the gods of our world and culture of our own making. Repent, for the Lord is near. Amen.